Okay. All right. Shalom, everybody. I'm going to give people to start a chance to be logging in and getting ready for today's class. Today is going to be an awesome class. Lori, one of our members of our church, she sent me a beautiful message this morning, and she had watched a video of a guy, Jonathan Kleck, and I want to make sure that I teach on that because this is something that I haven't taught on in our Hebrew class, and so that you can bypass when you see foolishness like what Jonathan Kleck is trying to teach on his site. Now, I don't think Jonathan Kleck is a bad guy. I think he's fallen into the trap that a lot of people have fallen into, and that you get popular on Facebook or on YouTube, and then, you know, because God gave you a miraculous revelation of something, which God, he's the one that showed us all of the things on the back of the $20 bill, the Twin Towers on the back of the $20 bill. He showed us, you know, many things, the artwork inside of the Egyptian sculptures that showed you that they were mocking Christ. He did a lot of great things. But once he ran out of that, now when you're done, you can't say, okay, I don't have any more material, so now I'm going to start teaching the Bible. And then now he's going into, like, now I'm going to teach Hebrew. And I'm like, ugh. So he's trying to teach us the meaning of Elohim, and he's come up with the conclusion that Elohim is the evil name, and you can only use Yahweh. I'm going to say not his fault, but when you're trying to continue being popular, you'll come up with things that, you know, you're sitting home and you're going, I'm going to teach this. And you should pray and give it to God first and then put it out there and say somebody. So he challenged. He said, well, I'd like to see someone come against this. And so I sent him a little note and I said, I'm coming against this. And this is the reasons why. So I'm going to show you the reasons why here today. And I believe that we will be able to conquer this. I'm going to turn my phone down. And we'll get to this, okay? But let's pray in first, because we love our Lord and Savior, and we're going to see him soon. And he says, what does he say in this? It's, let thy kingdom come. Yeah. Let thy will be done. Yeah. All right? The kingdom can't come to earth until we leave. Yeah. And then when we come back, then the kingdom is going to come to earth, okay? So, because we know in the English, I love the English. I forgot the English because I've been reading in or saying it in Hebrew for so long. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? That means righteousness on earth as righteousness is in heaven. Okay? He wants the equivalent of God's presence and righteousness to be on earth as it is in heaven. I think that's beautiful. Then it says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, he doesn't say give us this week or give us this month, because you are supposed to depend on God yom by yom le yom, day by day, okay? So every day you're depending on God. So he says, give us this day, because we're going to trust in you for what? Today, okay? We're not going to worry about tomorrow, okay? So he says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So I like the word to use debt, because we owe something. Yeah. We have to be redeemed because we sin. There's a price for sin,
yeah,
and it had to be paid, okay? So he says, forgive us our debt, which was that sin, as we forget those who have sinned against us and are debtors to us, okay? And it says, let us not, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, okay? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen, okay? So let's say this prayer in Hebrew. Avanu Shabbat Shabbaim. Yit kadesh shemcha, tavon mechuteka yi aseru sanaka. be'aretz ke asher ne'asa be'shamaim. Telanu hayom lechem hukenu, uselak lanu et ashmetenu, ke asher solechem anachnu le'asher ashmelanu. V'al tevienu ledemasa, keim hatzilanu min hara, kilacha hamamlecha v'hagivra v'hatiferet le'olamim lo'elamim. Amen. So, Baruch Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, and let's get started on our message today. Amen. Okay, what have we not learned? I don't know how many people have turned in their tests.
Not many yet.
Not many, but for you guys who have given up on your Hebrew class, this is time to do the final and try to get yourself, and get. I mean, try to get this done before we get out of here. This is what we're trying to do for you. The test is something, is things that you should know and you would want to know. So be feel free to say, hey, I didn't take the number two test. I'd like to take the number two test, but let me take this test so I can finish this and finalize this whole thing. Don't give up on yourself in this endeavor, because learning about the person you love is beneficial.
Amen.
Ask my wife. Now, I want to know everything about her. I want to know if she does poetry. I want to hear it. Amen. You know, it's you want to know the people that you love. So continue to work on your finals. Take your time. We have time, right?
Yes.
Take your time. Get the answers in. If you have questions, you have my email. Email me. My phone, the phone thing for me doesn't work. The phone thing, because it used to go to my email, but now it doesn't.
Okay, I'll work.
It goes to, I don't know, it doesn't go anywhere now. But it used to go to my email, then I could call the people right back.
Yes.
So if we could get that, yeah. Okay, so let's get started here today. First thing I want us to do, I know you might not have your book with you because we haven't looked in the books. We finished both books. But on page 6 of the second book is a definition of each Hebrew letter. Okay? These letters are the description, characteristics of, and story of Yeshua. Okay? So all of these letters are telling you a story, okay? They're not just letters. This is a spiritual language that God has given to the Hebrew people. It's not just like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, so you can spell words. Inside of the Hebrew words are spiritual meanings. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you are life, okay? These letters and these words that are in the Hebrew speak life, okay? And each letter has a meaning, okay? Like, what's the meaning of A? Nothing, right? What's the meaning of Aleph? Woo! The meaning of Aleph is the creator, God, and king. It also means ox, which means he's a burden bearer,
yes.
Okay? So Aleph is a lot in Hebrew. Aleph is also wonderful. Okay, which is the description of the child when he's born. He will be called wonderful. So which is like incredible, okay? It's beyond your understanding is Aleph, okay? So Aleph is God. So the first letter in the Hebrew has meaning. It's not just a letter. What does Bet mean? Bet means house, okay? Or temple. Excuse me. What does Gemel mean? Gemel means love and kindness, culmination, okay? This is the culmination of love and kindness is Gemel, okay? Delete, what does delete mean? The door, right? That's Yeshua himself. So every time you hear delete, when you see delete in a word, you like, okay, that's the door right there. Because there's two ways of defining a word in Hebrew, and we'll show it to you later, okay? Now, hey is the breath of God. This is why when Abraham believed God, God accredited to him righteousness, and then, but God wasn't giving the Holy Spirit out that at that time, right? So what did he do? He says, okay, and since I'm not giving the Holy Spirit out right now, I'm going to cease your name from being Abram. I'm going to put a hay in the middle because now you're receiving the Spirit of God. Okay. And now you're going to be called Abraham. And your wife, since you told her about what I've told you, and she believes, she's no longer going to be Sarah. She's going to be Sarah. And now they both have the Spirit of God in their names. You see? So understand that hay is the Spirit of God. What is Vav? Vav means complete redemption. So the Vav is the complete redemption. What does redemption do? It connects you back to God. So that's why Vav is a connector. So what if you if I say a child, okay? And I say, well, they and a child, they yeladim, okay? Ane ro'ah arbe anashim ve yeladim, okay? They, the vav means and, means I'm connecting you to this as well, right? So vav is always the connection, but when you're reading it in a spiritual sense of how God intended for vav to be, vav is the connection between God and man is vav. We'll show you that later, okay? In the word, in the name David, okay? Now, Zion is spirit, is the spirit, is rest, sustenance, and struggle, okay? Because in the 7,000th year, there will be rest, but there will still also be sustenance, and there will also be a struggle, because that represents the 7,000th year, that time of rest for God, okay? So Zion has its meaning as well. Het is the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. What do you think Het means? Divine life. Okay? So the eighth letter of the Hebrew means divine life. Okay? And it also adds in Wisdom of the Hebrew Alphabet by Rabbi Monk, he also adds grace in there, because it's divine life and grace, because that's the only way that any of us are going to be able to receive God's life is through first through his grace. Okay. And then Tet. Tet is the letter for objective good. Okay. So Tet is the ninth letter. It stands for objective good. But the objective of Tet, meaning the ninth letter, is that objective good is coming through who? Elohim, who is also a judge. Okay. So that's why they connect nine to judgment, okay? But it's the letter of objective good is Tet. Yod means the hand of God, okay? So Yod is a word that even in the speaking language, you know what I mean? Hine hayad sheli, this is my hand, right? So hand is Yod, okay? But with God, it's a divine hand. Why? Because the divine God with 28 joints in those two hands created all things. It's the handiwork of God, okay? So God is Yod, okay? His hand, the hand of God is Yod. Kof means crowning accomplishment. But now you know that Kof has also a Safit letter. I'm so glad you guys are Hebrew students, because if you weren't Hebrew students, I would have to explain to you that Kaf also has a Safit letter. Now, if you see Kaf, it's like this, a C, right? But the Safit Kaf is like this. It's standing, okay? So that means it's victorious, okay? Kaf is the crowning accomplishment. But remember, Christ comes humble on his knees, and then Kof stands up, okay, at the end. So the Safit letters are always showing you the end time victory of this. How many letters? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And what's those five letters do? Those are grace. So through his grace, he's going to have victory, okay? So you have the five Safit letters. Okay, here we go. Now, we're going to look at the word lamed. Lamed means teaching and learning, okay? Now, lamed can be either one, teaching or learning. Also, the word hallelujah has two lameds in it, which means that the teacher and the learner are coming together when you praise God. Hallelujah, okay? So lamed is also a means teaching and learning, okay? Let's go on to the word mem. Here now, mem has a Sophite letter, right? Mem is the living water revealed and the living water concealed, okay? So mem is living water, okay? Now, when it's closed, when it's concealed, that means that time is done, okay? When it's open, because when we write it first, the living water is an open invitation for everybody. There's always an opening. Let's not look at it. Look at when you look at it, you'll see at the bottom of mem. That's why if you guys wrote a mem and you closed off the mem on the first mem and not the Sophite mem, if you closed it off, I would say, hey, you got to fix your mem, because you're saying, oh, I just wrote it wrong. No, you closed it off. You're saying salvation opportunity to accept the living water has been closed, and that hasn't happened yet. And it won't happen until the mem is closed, and that will be at the end of the salvation trip, okay? So these letters have meaning. If you want to read about all this, if you got that much time, it's a book called Wisdom in the Hebrew Alphabet by Rabbi Monk. And he's a Orthodox Jew, so you have to just get the meaning of the letters. Don't start getting to all into what he starts talking about, because he gets into some other Orthodox Jewish stuff that may be too much. Okay? And then now you have Nun. Nun is the letter of faithfulness and the soul emerging, okay? So the first of it, Nun, is the letter for faithfulness, okay? It's also the emergence. Now, Nun is a 50th letter, which makes it also a new beginning. So Nun also represents life, but it's life through faithfulness. If you notice something about Nun, Nun is written like this, right? And it's like Kaf, it's bending on its knee. But now if you have an end time Nun, what is it? Now it's standing straight up, okay? Because God is saying through these five letters, which represent my grace, I'm going to have victory. So he comes humble, then he says, okay, it's the last letter, so now it's a Sophite letter, now here is the victory, okay? Then Samech, the letter is the letter of support, protection, and divine presence. Now, I love this because Samech is a circle, and it says Samech is the letter of support, okay? The numerical value for Samech is 360, so that makes it a complete circle, right? And it's the letter for support and protection. So when you hear the word for a... and you see this letter the first time, you see it in the thing when it calls the wife, your wife, to be a helpmate to you. And she is considered to be a Samech. She is a circle of protection around her husband. That's why I tell guys, you know, if you're married, you got to make sure that your circle of protection is very strong and being very well taken care of, because that Samech of support that's watching over you, because God gives you your wife as a circle of protection and prayer. And then if you're damaging her, then you're breaking down your own wall, and then you're actually letting spirits in. But if you keep your Samech, your helpmate, you keep her strong, you keep the whole family strong. So that's just a little marriage counseling for you. Okay, so that was free too. The whole class is free. Okay, here we go. Ayin is the 16th letter with the numerical value of 70. Why? Because it's sight and insight. Because in this time, you're going to see. When are you going to see? In the 70th. Okay? God is always in the 144,000 and all that stuff. when we calculated all that, the last of the numbers of it was 16, 0.16, because God wants you to know that the 70th year is Ion. The end of the 144,000 is Ion, okay? You will see, and that's what I believe we're going to see, because the numerical value for the seeing or the sight of God or seeing is Ion, which means sight, eye, okay? Pay, okay? The letter pay is a mouth, and it's appropriate because that's what your mouth is called, okay? So then the pay is a mouth, okay? And it means the mouth that speaks and is silent. So with this mouth, who are the letters about? Jesus. We got to remember that. These letters are speaking to you about the life of Jesus. That's why you have humble letters, and then at the end, they stand up. Well, pay is another one. And pay's mouth is closed like a backwards G, like that, right? Because he comes what? It means mouth, but it's speech and silence. So he was silent all the way to the cross. But a sophet pay is like this. Now he's standing up, right? Now the pay, the mouth is now going to speak. Come up here. And now you can say, okay, the mouth is now, no, is no more. I have to be humble and die on the cross. Pay says, no, it's time for victory. Now it's time to speak. Okay? So, pay is teaching you another letter. And remember, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. But he's not Greek. He's Jewish. So, he's the Aleph and the Tav. He's the Et, right? You guys know that. I'm just going over stuff you know. Okay? Now, here we are with the word Tzadik. Okay? And I'm saying tzaddik because people say, well, there's no such word as tzaddik. I know. I'm trying to help my English people because I used to always say tzaddik. But when you say the word tzaddik, it's actually pronounced tzaddik, like a Z, okay? So tzaddik means righteousness, okay, or righteousness through and humility. So righteousness, right? Now, look, watch out there. If you said the word Elohim Tzadik, which means Elohim our righteousness, okay? Tzadik nu, okay? Elohim our righteousness. Tzadik means righteousness. But in the Hebrew language, it means righteousness and humility. So where do the rabbis get the knowledge that the Hebrew for righteousness is both righteousness and humility? What is the humility? Because the letters are Yeshua. Notice Zadik, the letter Zadik, when you write it first, it's on its knees. Somebody's out there writing skateboard, yeah. Okay, it's on its knees. And then later, as you get to Zadik, it is a feet form. It is now standing up. And Zadik is now standing up. So Zadik is representing Christ. It's righteousness, humble when it comes, but then it is now righteousness standing up in victory. Okay, and it's like a Y, standing in victory. Okay, now Kof is the letter for holiness. Okay. So Kof is the letter for holiness, okay? Holiness and a growth cycle. It's the finishing of a growth cycle, 100 years. So the finishing of, because it's the numerical value of 100. So the growth cycle is the finishing, and it is the letter of holiness, okay? Now, once you have the word holiness and the cycle, then you have the word resh, okay? So first you got tzadik or zadik, righteousness. Then the next letter you got kof, holiness. Then you got the letter resh, which means evil or wickedness, okay? So resh is representing wickedness, okay? Ra'ah, right? Resh is wickedness or The symbol of wickedness is resh. So why would the Jewish scholars give resh the symbol of being evil? Because that's how you say evil in Hebrew, ra'ah, okay? But now, I'm going to show you something in a second, because you got tzadik, righteousness, kof, holiness, and then you got resh, okay, evil. Right there, those three letters combined together gives you the story of the cross and what happened on the cross, okay? Then you got the most important, well, I say it's one of the most important letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and every Jewish person puts this letter on their house because it shin means divine power and provision. All sufficient. See, Pastor Penn put that on his house. You got that little mezuzah, you put it on your house, and it doesn't represent an idol. You're not worshiping it. What it tells is anybody who knocks on this door, the provision, the divine provision for this home is El Shaddai. Amen. Okay? 22nd letter, three Zions, 777 pushed together, yeah, is resh. The Trinity of God is El Shaddai.
Hallelujah.
All right? So, then Tav, okay? Tav means truth and perfection. Now, I love it because Tav was originally written like a cross, and it is the finality of the whole story, and this was the cross, okay? But we know that the story goes beyond the cross, so it's the letter of truth and perfection, because through the cross, he's going to perfect us and bring us into life. Okay, so I just gave you all of the meanings of the Hebrew alphabet, and they're all here on your page 6 of book 2. And now I want to show you something. Okay, because here is the cross of Calvary. Okay. That's the cross of Calvary. What's the first seven letters? The first seven letters is the story of God. What's the story of God? Okay. And who's the center for any menorah candle? It's always going to be Christ himself, who is what? The delete, the door. So we already know this, right? So these letters are still all talking to you about the cross, because the eighth letter is going to be life, which is chai, right? But how is this how is this Calvary? This is the cross. This is what we're going to go through. This is what El Shaddai is going to do for us. So we got on this side righteousness. How do we become righteous?
Christ.
Through Christ, believing in the cross. The middle letter is holiness. He's holy, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. He's holy. So Christ is holy. And then we got here, we have resh, which is evil. Okay, so what happened on the cross? You got a guy in the middle on the cross, and he's innocent, he's holy. You got a guy over here on the cross, and he says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And God says, don't worry, I will, you'll be with me in paradise. This guy has a bunch of little evil things to say. He's on the other side of the cross, and he goes into destruction. So the letters are situated to tell you the story of Christ. So this is why when Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, he's Jewish, he's saying, I am the Aleph and the Tav. I am the Et in your Torah, okay? So he's the Aleph and the Tav, okay? Now, that we've gone through that, I don't know how much more I want to go through on letters, because there's something else I need to show you.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to take a little sip because I need some tea. That was not a commercial. Okay. Now, what I want to show you today is this. Because Lori was not the first person to ask me about this, and she asked me, hey, could you look at this video, because I know you speak Hebrew, and Emet, I need a Melbe Ivrit, okay, and And they could tell you, read the Kareivrit, I read it, I write it, okay? I'm not an expert, but I do have some mastery over the language, okay? As far as where the vowels are, the pa'al, how the binyan is set up to give you the vowels and the verbs and all of this these things, right? So I do have some knowledge of the Hebrew language so that I can teach someone else when they're reading it, hey, this word doesn't look right. Can you tell me why? And then, you know, so I would know, okay? Like you being Hebrew students, if somebody finished the word Sam, okay? If you wrote the word Sam in Hebrew, Samek, Aleph, Mem, and you did the last letter in a non-Sephit Mem, you would immediately go, this is wrong, right? Because you have that knowledge of the Hebrew alphabet. So I have some knowledge of the Hebrew alphabet. I'm always trying to get better studying Hebrew at home. But so I wanted to explain to you guys why this guy's saying, oh, Elohim is an evil name. You're not supposed to use it. It's not the real God. Elohim is the enemy. And I really don't like to do this because I really like Jonathan Kleck. You know, he started off very well, but then you can get to the point where you start teaching stuff that is unbiblical and you'll confuse a lot of people, okay? So I want you guys to know this, first of all, okay? If Elohim is an evil name, who wrote the Bible? Whose words are they? These are God's words. God says, Bereshit bara Elohim. Okay? God says that Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Then it goes on to say, and then on the second day he did this, and on the third day he did this. And then it says, on the fourth day, and then all the way to the sixth day. So he's creating plants, animals. I mean, he's doing everything. And who's doing this? Because Yahweh hasn't been mentioned yet, okay? So Elohim is his creator. Then he says on the sixth day, let us make man in our image. Now, if you're a Hebrew student, you already know El is God. Elohim is only God's. But in Genesis chapter 1, Elohim is written as a singular noun, but it has a plural meaning. Okay? So God is telling you that he is a Trinity, or he's telling you that he's more than one in the word Elohim, okay? And he's the one that creates everything, okay? So if Elohim is an evil person, then you're saying that an evil person created everything. And that's just bad teaching, first of all, okay? So the second thing that you need to know is that this word Elohim is mentioned in the Bible as being God Almighty 2,346 times. Okay? Now, this is where what threw him off. There's sometimes in the scripture is used as a small god, as these kings were told people to bow down and worship them as God. So it'll spell God, Elohim, but in a lowercase or in a lesser form, okay? So you have 244 times in scripture that Elohim is used in a smaller form, meaning not Ha Elohim, the God, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, it's used as a ruler or a judge 5 times, and it's used as an angel only once, okay? Mm-hmm. So, who is the true Elohim, okay? Let's look at this. Go to if you have your Bibles at home, or you can read this when you get home later. Chapter 10 of Jeremiah, verse 10. Okay. And then I'm gonna read it in English first.
Jeremiah 10:10.
Yes. Jeremiah 10:10. I'm going to read it first. Okay? It says, "But the Lord is truly God. Okay? It says Yahweh is truly God. He is a living God. The everlasting, I'm reading from the Tanakh, okay? This is the English form, but it's translated from the Hebrew over to the Tanakh, okay? So you're getting the English portion. I'll read you the Hebrew in a minute, okay? He is the living God, the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes. Whose? Elohim's wrath, the earth quakes. And nations cannot endure his rage. Okay? It says, thus shall you say to them, let the gods, Elohim's, in a small form, okay, and it specifies it here in the Hebrew Tanakh, let the gods who did not make heaven and earth perish. Okay, so there is an Elohim that's going to perish, and they're not gods. It's just mention of, because you're calling yourself gods, but you're not gods, okay? Okay, who did not make heaven and earth perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He made the earth by his might. He established the world by his wisdom. Boy, you could just go on and on in Hebrew, because that word wisdom is the same word for able, which we saw last night, right? And it says, and by his understanding stretched out the skies. Listen to that. When he makes it, his voice is heard. So we're talking about there is an Elohim, okay? Now, if I read it in Hebrew, watch how it starts off here in Hebrew. Verse 10. The Yahweh and Yahweh Elohim emet. It says, and Elohim is, Yahweh is the true Elohim. So you can call God Elohim. Yeah. You understand? Because he is the true Elohim. Okay? He is the true God who has created all things. Yeah. Okay? Anybody trying to say that they are Elohim, whether they believe in God or not, okay, they are not the true Elohim. God created us in his own image, so we're created in the image of Elohim. Yeah. But you lose that image. When Adam sinned, we lost the image of Elohim. We are now a two-part being with a dead spirit. But Christ came to die on the cross to reestablish us as a three-part being, the same as Elohim.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he's the in the beginning, Elohim created. He's that, and he's the Ruach HaKodesh, yeah, that was hovering over the darkness of the deep, right? Yeah. And then he is also the Devarim, or the Word of God, that said, "Let there be." Okay, so God is Elohim, is a three-part God. Okay, and he's one. Even the prayer Echad, Sma Israel Elohim, your God is Echad. He is not, Echad is a group of one, okay? There is a word for singular, which means only, and we went over that last week. There is a name for only one, but Echad is not it. It is a group of one. Yeah. So God is always letting you know that he is a Trinity, okay? And that his work, and through this Elohim, like me, I'm an Elohim. I got a body, got a soul, and I got a spirit. I don't have the power to separate none of them. Like, I can't send my spirit over there and then send my body over there and my soul stays here. I can't do that.
Amen.
But God has the ability to do that. So he can send his word into the world, right?
Yep.
And then he can send his spirit into the world, right? And since he's living water, he can be in more than one place at the same time. Because
yes.
You know what? While you're drinking water here in California, somebody else is drinking water in London. And somebody else is drinking water in Japan. And he's quenching, and that water is quenching the thirst.
Yes.
Which one is less water?
No.
They're all, okay? Elohim is God wherever he is, okay? In his fullness, okay? Anyway, let's continue. Okay, so it says this. Ve Yahweh, which is, you know, Yad He Vav He,
Ve'yave Elohim emet, okay? Hu Elohim Chaim, and he is the God, he is the living God, okay? And so, and it says, who created the whole world, okay? So, you can't listen to people who don't speak Hebrew and is trying to go through a word study. One thing God told me when I started, He said, I want you to learn Hebrew. Because I told God, I got to go back to ministry school if I'm going to open a church, if you want me to be a pastor. He says, no, I want you to learn Hebrew. You learn Hebrew and I'll teach you the Bible. Okay. Then I said, okay, I'm thinking in my mind, oh, so I have to start looking up the words in Hebrew to know the true meaning. He says, I don't want you to just look up words. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to learn how to speak it, read it, write it. I want you to learn the tarbut, the culture, and the traditions of my people so that you can understand my word better.
Yes.
And that was my journey, was to learn Hebrew so that I can learn the Bible. Okay. Through learning Hebrew, I can learn the scriptures. Okay. That's why this class is so different.
Yes.
Any class could teach you how to speak Hebrew, and it's going to be a struggle because Hebrew is a tough language. But to teach you how to implicate or implement the language and the letters into the meaning of the Bible is what Rashad Messianic Bible College is all about. Learning how to study the Bible through the Hebrew language, okay?
Amen.
So, please, Elohim is an awesome name. Now I'm going to show you another thing about Elohim, okay? Watch this, okay? There's a couple things, okay? Now watch this. You say the word Elohim is, it means God, okay? But Elohim, remember, every letter has a meaning. So, the Aleph in Elohim is God, always will be. El Shaddai, they all start off with Aleph, okay?
Yeah.
Lamed is the teacher. So God the teacher, Hey is the spirit. God the teacher and spirit, Yad is the creative hand. So God, the teacher, the Holy Spirit, the hand of creation, and the living water is Elohim. Now you, as a created being of the true Elohim, okay, we can say that, okay, God created us and we're created in his image. And even a man might want to call himself an Elohim. One time is used only in scripture once that it calls an angel an Elohim. Okay, but listen. Elohim, the spelling of it, is telling you this is a divine person. He is God. He is a teacher. He is the spirit of God. Yeah. He is that creative hand of everything that can in the world. And he is the victorious, because this mem is closed. He is the victorious, mature, living water. Okay? No man could ever be that. So Elohim is a beautiful name. Now, I'm going to show you one more thing, and then I'm going to be done with this Elohim thing, because I don't want people thinking Elohim's a bad name. Elohim's a wonderful name. He is the Elohim. He created all things. That's why he uses it when he starts off his thing. He says, in the beginning, Elohim created.
Yes.
Because God is Elohim. There's only one he met, Elohim. Okay. Elohim has a numerical gematria of 86. Times pi, which is the answer to every mathematical question, pi 3.141. So Elohim times pi equals 2701, which is Genesis chapter, the numerical value of Genesis chapter 1. But is 2.6. The last two are 0.26, which is what? Yahweh. Yad Heh Vav Heh. So Elohim, without Elohim, you don't understand that he is the mathematical answer to every mathematical problem in the world is Elohim.
Yes.
Okay? And he is times Elohim's times pi equals Genesis chapter 1 plus Yahweh. And so you can't tell people Elohim's an evil name, because
It's just not right. And I'm talking to Jonathan Kleck, and I'm not talking to Jonathan Kleck as a bad person. Jonathan Kleck has brought some incredible information to the church. Amen. But if you haven't studied Hebrew, you shouldn't try to teach it. You know, James tells us that it is very dangerous to teach the word of God if God has not called you, because we come under a stricter judgment. Yes. Okay, so don't tell people that I can't say, bow my knees and say, Elohim, my God. He'll say, oh, he's talking about me, right? Because I'm his God, and yes, I am the creative God. I am the one who, the Son is there because of Elohim, okay? The six-day creation was done by Elohim, okay? So don't listen to that, and make sure that you stay in your word and start using some of these study tools to make sure that you are studying your scripture, because that's what Rashawn Messianic Bible College is. Because after you finish this test, then you have to give your own message and implement your own Hebrew into your message so that we can say, this person got it. What did you get? You know how to take a scripture, apply the Hebrew to it, okay, and teach on it based on the Hebrew,
yeah.
Okay, and the rules that God lays out. What are the rules? That every letter has a meaning. What about David? Why did God call him David? Delete, Vav, delete. Here's a door. Here's the connection. Here's the other door. So the David, right, is going to connect you, is a delete. David is going to be the small door that's going to connect you, Vav, to salvation. To who? The true door.
Yeah.
That's why he's David, okay? He's David because he's telling you the story that he is the door that's going to connect you to the door, okay? And that door, he's going to sit on the throne forever and ever. You
yeah.
understand? So understand the scriptures when we're reading them, and do your own study, and make sure. And if you guys have a question, I beg of you, do not, if your spirit feels funny about something, and you've joined S4C as a universal family together. We've got people in China, we got people in London, we've got people in Russia, everywhere, Africa, all of these people all over the world. If you have a question, if you're on Facebook, ask me the question. Or if you can call, get me the, email me. But make sure you get the answer to your question, because I do believe, I'm starting to feel comfortable in it, that God called me to teach the Bible for these last 16, 17 years, right?
Only take
15 to 16 years. But Pastor Ben was there with me, and he has seen me, because I started learning Hebrew when we first met, and I was okay. But now, you know, we can sit and talk in Hebrew all day, right?
Amen.
So everything is a matter of rather, and I didn't learn Hebrew in my own accord. I did put the effort for it, but I'm sure that God gave me some divine understanding of how to speak the language, and working with God, and God putting this in my spirit and a desire to learn it for a reason, because I want to teach you the word properly, okay?
Yeah.
And so in ending today, I just want to say, remember, you guys, we're in the 70th year of Israel's birthday. May 14th ends that 70th year count on the Gregorian calendar. I think April sometime ends it on the Hebrew calendar. I don't know which one God is going to use, but I want you to know that in that 70 years, we're expecting Jesus' prophecy that this generation will not pass till we see two in one place, one taken, the other one left. Thank you for joining us.
We'll pray out.
And I'm going to pray out, and then we're going to get out of here. All right. I'm going to sing it. Yivareka Adonai v'yishmareka, Ya'er Adonai panavilecha v'chuneka, V'yaseh Adonai panavilecha, V'yasim l'kai shalom, V'yasim l'kai shalom. Li'itriot b'shavua chaba, Hakol havarim. And we'll see you next week. God bless you.